From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rain Podcast preseason edition with Ranger Proud. Going to talk some NHL, New York Rangers, a little bit of the game, Monday versus the Islanders. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. RBO archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. And once again, we are joined by the man of Ranger Proud, Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. RP, what's going on? How's everything? How's your week? NHL preseason is back. I've been watching a lot of games the last day, 24, 36 hours. RP, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Steve, we're good. Everything's going really well. It's been a good week. It's really great to get some preseason hockey back on. Just so nice to watch hockey and not talk about it, if you know what I mean. But it's been a good couple of days. I'm watching the Golden Knights now play. Those guys scoring a lot of goals early in this preseason. They scored three again tonight. They got 12 goals in four periods. But it's just pretty
Which
fun to watch.
Which team are you talking
about? To see what's going on all
Which
around the league.
Which team? The Blackhawk game? What game?
No, the Golden Knights are playing Colorado. They're up 3-0
after
one.
Okay, I wasn't
watching. Former Ranger Oscar Lindberg with the power play goal tonight. Hard to say that.
Yeah, the Vegas team. That's right. You're right. Yeah, that's right. The Vegas. I was actually trying to watch that, and I ended up going back to Ottawa and Toronto was playing, and also Chicago was playing Columbus. So I was kind of being back and forth between those two games. And it was good to have the games back, man, you know?
Yeah, it was. Some good hockey, a lot of action, a lot of new stuff to look at. You know, face-off violations and new icing rules. And it's, in hockey, when they change the rules like this, or they add different rules, the preseason really can be beneficial. It's also a lot of, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of penalties, a lot of power plays in the first weekend of hockey games here. The referees are on that new initiative with the new slashing, and they're calling every single one of them. So it's been a little overwhelming, but that's what preseason's about, I guess.
That definitely is. There was a lot of penalties in the game versus the Rangers versus the Islanders. I had the chance to catch up. I was behind on the sports, and I'm glad I stayed off the feeds and off the social media. I had an opportunity to watch the Rangers-Islanders game on Monday. I wanted to get your thoughts on that game first so we could dive in and talk about development. It's not really about wins and losses. It's really more about the Rooks and everybody else getting ice time and development.
I tell you, as you're saying, just to dive in, I thought the Ranger rookies played pretty well last night. Anderson had a really good game. You know, his Ranger debuted out there, I'm sure. He said he'd be really nervous at, you know, in front of all the Ranger fans at Madison Square Garden and so forth. I thought he played well. I thought on defense played extremely well for the Rangers, not just because he scored the game winner. He looked very confident, very fast. He didn't make, you know, a lot of bad mistakes. He didn't get overwhelmed. You know, it was a little bit of an aggressive game. The Islanders had a lot of that big guys in there, so they were taking a lot of runs and a lot of hits, and I thought he played pretty steady. I mean, he had the second most time on ice on the team behind McDonough. He played almost 22 minutes. You could tell the Rangers were giving him, you know, a solid look. Felt a little better, I guess, after last night. Pionk came well, and Holden played well. And it's like the Rangers seem, even though it's only one game, they might have a lot to offer if they needed to make a trade, you know, for a center or another move. They seem pretty in charge with defensively. They have their depth, so I was happy with that. New center, JT Miller, I thought he had a solid game, won some face-offs, involved in a lot of plays. I got to tell you, Steve, I was disappointed in one player, and I know you're going to – I don't know if you're going to agree with me or not, but what is wrong with Pavel Buchnev? You didn't even know he was on the ice last night. Very concerning. Man with a lot of skill, a lot of speed and potential, and he just can't find his game. He was, if I had a high point and a low point, everybody, he was my low point. He struggled something fierce last night. He only played 15 minutes as it was. He just did not have a good game. And if I'm a Ranger fan, I'm a little concerned with that because this is the year that you're expecting a lot out of him. You know, he had that tough year last year. He wasn't in shape. He didn't have I don't want to say that was an injury. They said it was an upper core strength issue. Just sounded like he just wasn't in shape for the season when he sat out those couple of months. And, and he just seemed lost out there. And you want to know something? For a second-year player, it's just not what you expect, especially with all that speed and skill he had when he played in, you know, when he wasn't a Ranger. He has so much potential. So the Rangers coaching staff really have to work to find, you know, how do we get this guy to fit into our game? The Rangers game isn't a hard game. It's a fast-skating, high-paced kind of a hockey game. You would think that's his style, you know? A big kid can take the body, can take a hit. So I was a little, you know, I was really looking at a lot last night. He just didn't seem to have it.
Yeah, you know what? I would say this about Pavel, because early on in that game, in the first period, he was one of the guys that really gets some good shots on goals. It was Paul Carey and I think Bobby Farnum and Grabner who, early on in the first couple of minutes of the game. See, it, to me, it's like Pavel is one of those type of players where he needs to get at least some sort of some touches with the puck, maybe a shot on goal to get him going. I mean, I would thought that things like that gets him going. He's not one of those guys that's going to win you battles or win you games without being near the puck. He kind of has to be around the puck. And I thought that early shot on goal, like within the first 2 minutes of getting going, get setting up will help him get going. But that's something we're going to keep track to see. Because like you say, I agree with you as far as when you have an off season to mentally reset. It's not really the physical for me. Of course, it's physical. You
right.
have to be in shape, of course. But it's that mental. You went through an 82-game season, and then you went through, what, 12 games in the playoffs. You would think that mental reset is coming. I'm going to give him some time, and you know, I'm not going to overreact on preseason number one, but you make valid points because that's the guy you want to keep tabs on because he's a – every Ranger is going to have to pull their weight to have a success in his division and hopefully a Stanley Cup run. And he's part of this thing too. No matter how – if he's going to be on the third line – He's going to have to be key to what we need out of him as far as touches, time on the ice, and just staying active. It's like his thing is about being active.
And that's a tough thing because, like they're playing six or seven preseason games, and just looking at you know the lineup for tomorrow night, he's not even in the lineup for tomorrow night. So now he's only down to four games before the season starts. They're going to have a whole week off. So if he needs touches and stuff to get him going and it's not occurring in practice, you would think the coach is going to have to come up with some sort of plan to get him. You can't wait sometimes. You know what I'm saying? We always spoke about especially early on in the season, those points are so valuable. And just getting confidence. You know, like you said, if he gets those touches and he goes up with confidence, he seems to be a streaky kind of hockey player. So that's what you want. But he's not going to get that opportunity, especially he's pretty much a short thing on the hockey club. So AV is looking at him, but not as much as, you know, some of the other kids. So that's why you may or may not see him in back-to-back games until the end of the preseason. So I just hope he can find that confidence, I guess we're talking about. Because, you know, he's that kind of player that can really, you know, light up the lamp for us.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this. Now what other ways you would like to see him get going? If he's not going to get touches with the puck, how would you like to see him? What is something about his game where he could still try to be involved in the game without if he's not going to get those shots on goal? Like, how would you like to see him based on his skill set?
You know, when he doesn't have the puck, you just want to see him know where he has to go. You know, it's three zones, and they were even saying it yesterday, like when AV's evaluating an Anderson or tomorrow night when Philip Tritell's in the lineup. Sometimes what they do without the puck is more important to look at and to evaluate a player than what they do with the puck. You know, a guy like Buchanan can score goals. So, you know, when he has the puck, he's going to be explosive. He's normally going to get the shot on goal or be aggressive. But what is he doing without the puck? That's what I mean sometimes when he's invisible. So if he's not getting a lot of touches, you don't hear him. You don't see him back-checking as strong. That's what he needs to do. There's a lot of ways to get into a hockey game. Sometimes it's taking the body. Sometimes it's getting hit with a clean check. Sometimes you get your bell rung early in the game, and you're like, wow, I'm in it. Here we go. But he has to be aggressive in all zones, and that should get him into the game. Because otherwise, it's going to be, you know, where do you put him? You know, you don't want he's not a fourth-line player. He's too good for that. So that's why, you know, Lindy Ruff and AV are going to have to keep working on him, working him hard in practice. And he'll come around. I mean, he'll definitely come around. I just saw in a game last night when there wasn't a lot of Islander offense. I mean, they only had, what, 13 or 15 shots on goal, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers had a lot of pressure.
Well.
The Rangers had a lot of puck possession. I expected to see them just a little bit more confident going in, especially coming out of practice. But as you said, you give him a little bit of time, you know, I'm sure he'll turn it around.
Yeah, and I think that's the route I was going to go with it, is with the assistant coaches like Lenny Ruff. It's going to be something where it's going to be a sub coach who's going to help him, put him in the right position. I know AV has a lot more,
sure.
I want to say bigger fish to fry, but he has a lot of huge macro issues where these micro type of issues, these assistant coaches should be able to coach Pavel and put him in the right position to where the coaching staff wants him in. I think we're on the same page on that.
Absolutely.
Now, without him being in the lineup, so what does that say? Do you wait for him to come back to the following game after that? Or?
You know, AV has a lot of evaluation to look at. And to tell you the truth, we were talking a little bit earlier about all the penalties. Both coaches last night, Vigneault and Waite, said it was really hard to evaluate the players. They played so much 5-on-4 hockey last night. I mean, there were 15 penalties called. So each team was on the specialty team side of the game for almost 30 minutes. It's half the game of the special teams. So it was really hard. You know, they were complaining a little bit about all the penalties, all the slashing penalties that were called, not just in the Ranger game, but, you know, over a lot of the games over the last couple of days. So it's hard for him to get that right idea. Like, tomorrow night, he is starting Anderson again. So he's giving Elias Anderson back-to-back starts, a really good look. He's putting Philip Chartel in there, another first-round pick, 18-year-old, who's really determined to make this club. I don't know if he will or not, but his attitude is great. So right off the bat, if he's getting the kids that you are either the future Rangers or, you know, the guys that could make the team, he's giving them some good looks. He's playing Ryan Group again tomorrow, who I thought had a good game yesterday too. So these, you know, how he plays the guys from now towards the end of the preseason, you would think the first four games or more of let's see what we got. He is playing some kids that really did well at the prospect tournament, giving them a game before he sends them down. And that's respectful of the coach and the organization. If that's what they should be doing, that, you know, thank you for, you know, playing hard in Michigan and for doing all that the team asked. So you practice with the big club for a couple of days. You're playing a game at Madison Square Garden, get your feet wet a little bit before you go back to your junior teams or to the Wolfpack. So, you know, other guys that we were talking about, I thought Holden had a good game last night. And I know everyone's going to say, oh, the seventh defenseman. But you want to know something? He didn't like the seventh defenseman to me last night. Holden, it was great. AV was smart. He put Holden and D'Angelo in the same lineup, knowing that they were battling for that number six spot. I loved it. I thought Holden played a solid hockey game last night. I thought D'Angelo was trying a little bit too much. He had a couple of giveaways, a couple of overskates. He looked a little nervous, but remember, he's only played 39 games in the NHL. It was his first game at the Gardens. Got to give him a pass on that style. But I thought Holden, you know, he played 14 minutes and change last night. He didn't have a bad game by any means. I mean, everybody was plus last night, so you can't go by that in a 1-0 game. But I thought right off the bat, he's putting an AV's head, not going to be so easy to sit me. You know, trade me for something good or you're going to play me. And that's what you want. That's what you and I had spoken about, that competition that they need. You need someone who's not in the lineup to push those other guys. And Holden is going to be pushing D'Angelo, I'm telling you. So it's going to be an interesting preseason. That's one of the few battles that we had discussed that the Rangers really have.
And speaking about D'Angelo, he's no shy as far as shooting the puck, man. Once he was in that game, paired up with Holden, he was in gun shy even on the power play at times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's an offensive defensive mind, man. We have a bunch of these guys on this team. It's a good thing they're going to be competing with each other, man. He had the penalty. I think Holden had that other penalty as well. And again, it is what it is when it comes to taking one for the 2 minutes. The penalty kill was good, of course, because they didn't give up nothing. But as far as D'Angelo, like, I wanted to see the offense that we were talking about as far as him coming over to the Rangers. We wanted to see what they gave him the green light on Monday. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And you're right. I like that him and Holden are playing with each other, man. You're going to make the battle. You're going to battle with each other.
You're going to make the battle.
I think the Rangers
are
in real good shape.
And
they're in
good shape. Well, we said that all along. Defensively, the Rangers are in good shape. You know, Neil Punk playing as well as he did yesterday, Now, he's not in the lineup tomorrow, but if he plays like that, it's going to be hard for AV to send him down. Now, can he keep it up? I don't know, but he played, I guess it's the one first game I really watched him play beginning to end. Yeah. You know, we heard about him in the tournament and so forth, and I thought he played very well. But now the flip side to that is Holden and D'Angelo are both out of the lineup tomorrow night. So
yeah, we're going to keep eyes on
him. Now they get to watch, right. You know, he's playing it smart. He really is. He's going to make these guys really work. And remember, you've got to figure the fourth and fifth game of the preseason, he's going to probably go with a lot of his starters. So, you know, they have that whole week off. You might even do it the last three preseason games. Because for some reason, the way the schedule works, when preseason ends, the Rangers will be going to Lake Placid, New York for team bonding and practice out there, because they have almost 7 or 9 days off from the last preseason game to opening night. So he's going to have a lot of decisions to make.
Definitely a lot of decisions, man. What about the goalie's performance, man? Pavlik and Halvorsen, as far as being in net, like, what was your thoughts on stopping everything they saw come their way? I think Pavlik played about two-thirds of the game. Halvorsen, pretty much the last third. What was your thoughts on that, them guys in net?
I mean, they didn't have a lot of shots. Pavlik had 10 shots on them, and Halvorsen had 10 shots on them. Believe it or not, I thought some of the shots Halvorsen faced were a little bit tougher. They had that little flurry island in the middle of the third period there. But, you know, all in all, look, when you go on the ice, you don't give up a goal. You can't say they played bad. I thought Pavlik, he looked confident in that. He didn't look as shaky as you might have thought, you know, his first NHL action in over a year. So, regardless if it was preseason or not, the Islanders had some guys out there. And all those guys are decent hockey players. So, I thought he played well. He more or less, it's his job to lose. I don't see Halvorsen stealing it. I don't see Alexander or Gorbachev stealing it. I think this is going to be Pavlik's position, and if he blows it, he blows it. He's not playing tomorrow night, so, you know, a little bit of watching, still learning the style of the game. But I thought both goalies played fine. I mean, like I said, when you give up a goal, you can't say you play bad, so.
Well, that's true. I mean, the point with that,
you know,
they didn't really see a lot of shots, and the Islanders didn't put too much pressure, but he held his own. But it's kind of like
he held
like
his own.
Said,
he made some good saves, yeah.
Yeah, when you make the good saves where you have to, your body language versus the rush, I look at positioning, how far
exactly.
From the crease, the edges, play the boards. You look for little things like that, his technique, and being in the right position on where the puck is at the specific time of the ice. No complaints thus far, but you still need a whole more sample. But off to a decent start for the backup goalie competition, if you want to call it that, because this is an area you emphasize, and I totally agree that we can't take for granted. And I know I can't take for granted as far as the goalie because of the nice little run we've had the last several years. You want this to really work out well, and you really have to kind of almost look at this from a microscope, especially with Pavlik, because he has limited action over the last couple of years, man. You want to see him, especially Madison Square Garden, too, man. I mean, some arenas are a little different than others, man. Some they're a little brighter. Some of the lights are brighter than arenas.
And then he came into the National Hockey League, he played. You know, he was a solid goaltender. It was weird how he got hit with that downward spiral. But sometimes, I tell you, these trades just give you new life. You know, he came in, he had the new equipment on, he was all ranged up, he looked great in net. Like you said, he played at Madison Square Garden. The first game was a rival game. Doesn't matter if it's preseason or not. The Islanders are out for blood yesterday. They were hitting everything that moved. So it had some intense moments.
We're the more physical team.
You know,
we're the physical.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That for sure. So, I think it was I think it was good for him to get on the ice, come out there with not giving up any goals, play pretty good, get a little sharp in there, and you know the next game, not the next game, but the game after this, I figure he'll be back in the net, and you know they'll take it from there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to backtrack before we move on. I want to go back to the defenseman, and I think I'm kind of. Little scoring fan RP at this point, because it's almost looking like the same thing I look at with the football team that I root for. For instance, on paper, the Giants wide receivers look off the hook, But they right now, they don't look like they're in sync. They're gelling, blah, blah, blah. But I know football is kind of more, there's more pieces to the puzzle that have to make that work. But I'm looking at the, almost the same thing as the defenseman. On paper, the range of the defenseman looks spectacular. But until I actually see it in regular season action, you know.
I agree.
I know it's apples and oranges, but at the same time, I mean,
the
comparison
know,
is there.
That makes sense because preseason football, we, you know, here in New York, we all talk about how great the Giants should be. They really built up their defense after the problems they had last year. The offense should be able to hold their own, and they can't get out of their own way. And, you know, that happens in hockey, too. The defense can get really good, and there may not be any chemistry. They just not be skating well. I don't anticipate it as much because you've added a couple new defensemen, and you still have your core defenseman there, and I think it'll work out fine. Maybe production-wise, maybe Shattenkirk won't be putting up the points you expect, or Brady Shea just won't have that season that we're looking for. But from the defense side, you know, when football is different, if Odell isn't catching the ball well, he's just not doing good. But in hockey, if you're not doing good offensively scoring as a defenseman, let's say, you could still do well behind your own blue line in your own end of the ice. So it gives you, you know, a two-dimensional form. So I would hope if the defensemen aren't putting up the points and if the Rangers and realistic, they're a good scoring team. I don't consider them a high scoring team. So if they struggle a little bit, I expect them to be much, much better defensively than they were last season. And I think that Pavlik and Lundqvist, and I think that sometimes defense does grow offense. And if they start to get some good momentum on the back line, that'll start producing some scoring opportunities forward. Hey, you know who we didn't mention, Steve? Grabner looked fast as ever last night.
Oh yeah, well I did mention him.
Grabner had that good little spunk in him. You know, it was good to see because you got to wonder a little bit too with the age. And last year he looked like he didn't lose a step from where he ended off the season. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, he looked good in very opening minutes in that game. I said that it was him. We got to Farnham and Paul Carey, and like you said, even Buchnevich. Pavel. Same guys, man. I thought they all got to a good start, really getting clear shots on goal as well. But I'm gonna say this right now and get that out the way because I don't want us to get hit up on Twitter or Facebook or whatever about. The Rangers were 0-for-8 on the power play. Listen, man, I'm going to leave it like this. We know that's the elephant in the room. We understand that. We understand the penalties. I'm going to give it time. I want to see what it's like when we actually have a game plan later on in preseason to really address that. I'm not going to trip off of Monday night the 0-for-8 right now.
You
I don't know about
better,
RP.
You are a better man than I am because you want to know
okay,
something.
Okay, you're right. So you want to go in.
How do you go 0-7 on the power bar? I'm sorry. They didn't
have
their top players in the lineup. The Rangers were barely able to get shots on goal again. It's come down to the point that when they get a power play, it's like, whatever. I mean, it's horrible to say, but, you know, they had McDonough. They had D'Angelo out there. Pionk was skating really well. They had Rick Nash playing. They had JT Miller playing. They have a lot of starters out there. You have to score on the power play. You see, if you don't start it now, then it's not going to continue. So tell me, if tomorrow against the Devils,
that bunks my argument. You're right
about
that point.
And if you go 0-7 tomorrow again against the Devils with Kevin Shattenkirk and Brady Shea, now what do we say? Well, in the last two games, the Rangers topped the four defensemen.
I've done nothing. That's good point.
Always going to be the elephant in the room, but you can never just say. It was the first game because their power play is so bad that in the mindset of everybody, and I heard it today.
I get it today.
Here we go again.
I get it, man.
You know, it's a hard thing to deal with. So I hear what you're saying, and we're not looking at the scoring. I don't want them to score on a power play. I could care less. I just want to see the opportunities. They couldn't even
that
set up again
key.
Last
that
night.
That is the key. You're absolutely right. You debunk my points because I should have given this a pass. I should have sweeped it under the rug. Maybe I was a day behind watching the game, and I you know, knowing that the game ended the way it did. But it's a catch-22. You're right. You had Miller play a lot of the power play. You had Schneider on there. You saw a little bit of Nash and Pavel. If you're talking defenseman, we already talked about D'Angelo on the power play, Pionk, who actually won in the overtime. Then McDonough here and there. I think he probably was on two shifts on the power play. Listen, man, you're right. I shouldn't be sweeping this under the rug. I think you're right. The word is patient. I'm a little more patient. I shouldn't be sweeping under the rug. I guess that's the best way I can say.
Yeah, I mean, patient is good. Like I said, I'm not looking for them to, you know, score 9 or 10 goals here. But you would think on 7 opportunities, you get one. I'm not looking for a lot. We're not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, oh, they should have had. They just right off the bat again. And you know, like you said perfectly, the elephant, excuse me, they were 0 for 8 yesterday.
Oh,
0 for 8 with 42 shots on goal, and they were 0 for 8 on the power play.
Hmm.
So I just don't know, you know, you never really know what's going on or why. I just want to see them set it up. Get some shots on goal.
Were they talking about that on Ranger? Were they talking about that on Ranger?
They were talking, yeah. Not a lot. On my buddy's other page a little bit. You know, someone always has that little smaller comic about the power play. And like you said, you kind of just brush it off because it's all the time. It's all the time. You know, the other day someone showed a picture of Brian Leetch. I read an article for Elite Sports about Leetch and, you know, working with the rookies. He went to Michigan and all. And they were like, it looks like he could suit up and hit probably for more points on the power play than anybody on there. It's always getting the outfit in the room. And they just need to find a way just to make it, just to be in the middle of the pack would be such an improvement. And it's scary to say. So for 31 teams, so if they're 15th or 16th, we should be happy. But compared to where the Rangers always are, that would be awesome. That could be 4 or 5 more points in the standings if they could just get to the middle of the pack. So I hear what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying. It just, if you're going to look at the only thing I was really looking at, it wasn't the scoreboard at all. It was everything else, how they're playing, how they're positioning, how they're skating and looking. And then the power play comes out, and you're like, oh, man, here we go. And it was the Islanders, too. The Islanders' power play was horrible last night, but they didn't have a lot of their big names in it. The Rangers didn't have a lot of big names, but they had some guys that would be on the first power play unit, so you would think, hey, maybe something will happen here. So let's not brush it too far, because before you know
it. Can I count on that real quick? May I count on that, and then we can move on?
Absolutely. I'll give you the last word.
All valid points, what you said. But let me say this. Was it the power play at one point? It was at a good – we're middle of the pack, probably top 10, bottom – like, we were probably bottom 10 on that top 10 out of 30-plus teams in the league in power play. But as the season went, it declined. So no matter how fast you start with this core of guys, it's still going to decline. That's what the statistics that's what the stats say. The last couple of years, it's always dwindled as the season gone. So no matter how fast you get to a start with the power play, it's going to dwindle. How do you say to that? I mean, I understand that you still want to work at
it. I go back at you quick. Look at it this way. So you're saying that the power play goes well in the beginning, but as the season goes on, it declines. So in other words, the power play looks really good on paper early and then dies out at the end. It's just the same thing we said with the Giants and with the Rangers overall. That's why you play the game, and they have to find a way to keep it consistent. You have to find a way to get good again. And then you have to find a way to maintain it. And remember, it's not just scoring the goals. Yeah, we all want the light to go on and score. But if you just get a good power play, you keep momentum. Right. And we had spoken about this. And when the Rangers struggle on a power play, it gives the other team momentum. And at one point towards the end of the season, I remember you had even said it, it got so bad now the teams don't care being more aggressive with us and taking penalties because they know they're not going to score against us anyway. And it's a tough outlook to have. So, but I hear what you're saying. Let's just go a game at a time with it.
We got to. We will definitely make a progress report on that. That was a sweet goal by Pyongyang at the end of the in the overtime. That little turnaround or little circle or whatever you want to call it. Did a spin move. I guess
we call it. He made Brock Nelson jump right out of his jock, is what we would say. Yeah,
I know, right?
That was nice,
man.
I tell you,
it
was a nice move. It was a good shot, and. You know, I'm glad he got it. I'm glad if it was going to be an overtime goal, let it be, you know, not an everyday regular guy. He deserved it. He played well all game. He played a lot of minutes for considering, you know, AV balanced it out minute-wise. If you look at everyone's time on ice.
He
gave a lot of minutes. He gave a lot of minutes to him. Yeah. I didn't even realize that he played 22 minutes in the game last night. That was a lot.
He was out there often.
He gave him a lot of situations, you know, penalty kill, even strength. I was impressed with him. I mean, now can he keep it up? That's another question. But if you look at the numbers, he played most of the guys between 15 and 18 minutes, more or less. So he really evened it out, except for Farnham. For some reason, I don't know if he didn't – what it was. He only played 9 minutes. He's the only guy that didn't hit, you know, the double number and double digit of time play. But yeah, AB had a – he worked a good bench last night.
Yeah. Let's talk about the draft pick, man. Let's talk about Anderson, man. What were your thoughts as far as overall? He's part of the – he got the assist on it, on the game winner. What was your thoughts on his overall play? I thought that he had that cross-checking penalty in the second period. But got to give him credit as far as helping. He did a nice play. I think he was setting up a deflection for Camphor. I don't know if you remember that in front of the net, man. I thought he was good, man. What was your thoughts, man?
I thought, you know, he played, you know, his first game with the big boys. He played well. It's funny, when you look at him on the ice, he looks a little thin. He looks a little bit smaller than some of the other guys. And, you know, if he makes the team, can he take the beating that he's going to be getting? But I tell you, he was really aggressive last night. He was finishing checks. He was taking the body. I didn't mind the cross-checking penalty because I like that little, that feistiness, you know. Once he gets a little bit more comfortable, the puck seems to find him, which is great for a goal scorer. Yesterday was that first game. He was at the Garden. He even said in after practice yesterday morning that he was going to have goosebumps when he got out there, and finally playing on the big stage and all. So, you know, considering everything, I thought he had a really solid hockey game. He did assist on the game winner. It was nice that AV put him out there 3-on-3 in overtime. You know, it's a little bit harder. He's a faster guy, not as an aggressive guy, so... I was glad AV used him in that situation, which was smart. Let's see what he's got. So I think he played well. I bet he's playing again tomorrow night. It's just back out there, you know what I mean? Let's see what he can do. Back-to-back rival games, New Jersey double. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles, you know, two games in three-night kind of deal.
I think what we're seeing out of him right now throughout the first game, he could make this lineup, man. I mean, we were talking about the whole theme this whole summer was extra forwards, extra center, and we talked about how AV liked him in Terrytown. We talked about how they were big on the kid, and he's off to a nice start with the production, and the production is really going to be key for anybody, especially the draft pick, to really find a role for him on the squad. And like you said, he's a little thin, a little frail. I don't think that's going to – that's something that's going to be over time. I think developing your body is not going to happen overnight. It is what it is. The skill, as far as affecting different parts of the game, I thought he landed a solid A- out of me. He didn't score a goal. That doesn't mean anything to me. But as far as creating scoring, that's everything to me. Whether, you know, assists, clean shots for somebody else, deflections, setting up other guys on the ice, I thought he did a very good job, especially between about the last 30 minutes of the game. The first 30 minutes, he was feeling himself, feeling his way around. But especially the second half of the second period on into the overtime, I thought he played very good hockey. As the game went, I thought his presence was made more. He was getting his legs up to him, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely an adjustment from – even when he played with the prospects, to come up, you know, and playing now is different. But I tell you, the other thing that we didn't discuss, he was pretty good on faceoffs last night. He was 7 for 11. That was good for 64%.
Pretty good.
You know, that's what they're looking for. And then the man of the hour that we're trying to see how he can do and will he get better, JT Miller last night was 12 out of 17 faceoffs. That's good for 71%.
That's the high 70s.
And then
that's low 70s.
Yeah, I tell you. But here's the big number that I'm looking at now for the first time. In the defensive zone faceoffs, he was 6 for 6.
Perfect.
That was really good. He was 5 out of 5 when he was shorthanded, and he was 1 for 1 when we were even strength, 4 on 4. Must have been coincidental minus. There were so many of them. But, you know, when you look at the overall number, which is – and to me, like I always say, I think the defensive faceoffs sometimes are more important than the offensive. They're all important, but that's how I look at it. But 71% efficiency last night, his first game as a center. I am sure that's the number AV is looking at, because we need to win faceoffs. So I was in.
Oh yeah.
I was impressed with that. Meanwhile, the other one, Nieves, who is an outside consideration for faceoffs, had a tough night. He was only 2 for 7. Newly acquired Andrew Jones, he was 7 for 12. That was good for 58%. So,
yeah.
You know, these are the numbers that I'm sure the coach is looking at, because, hey, this is what we want. You know, you got to find someone who can be that. I don't know if he's not number 4 or number 3 center, wherever he's going to use these guys, how he's going to use them. You know, I guess, if, as you said, if Anderson has a good shot at making the squad, now does that mean Miller doesn't play center? Or
that's where we're going with it.
Or do they put Anderson on the wing, which is a little bit less pressure, to get himself more acquainted in the NHL, and then slowly put him back to center? I don't know what this is, just me. I haven't read or saw anything. But if Miller gives you what you're looking for, and you want to bring Anderson in and take a little bit of heat off him, because you know how important and how hard it is to play center in this league, maybe you bring him in slowly. You don't know. You don't know what they're thinking. You know, it was only, like you said, tomorrow night he's centering again, so I guess we'll get a little better idea of what he can do.
What about we're talking about Desjardins when he came over from the Oilers by way of Montreal? He didn't have much time from what I remember. How do you thought he did? Because he was another guy we talked about as far as being on the fourth line, and his role is primarily winning faceoffs, basically. I mean, that's what he was pretty much brought over. What was your thoughts on a limited time?
He played all right. He didn't get a lot of action. He was good on the faceoffs. He won 58%. And for his position, that's what we're looking at. Win the draws. They brought him over to win draws. They didn't bring him over for scoring prowess or anything else with it. Maybe a little bit penalty killing. So I thought he played fine. He didn't have a lot of playing time either. He only played around 13 minutes last night. That's because of all the penalty killing and all the power plays. So that's what we were discussing earlier. But, I mean, he had a quiet game, but he was effective. So they're going to need to see him a little bit more. And, you know, I guess a lot depends on who AB decides to keep and cut probably in 3 or 4 more games. You know, the cuts the Rangers made today are guys that you expect to be sent down, you know, some practices and some games. So I'm curious to see where he goes with it. I guess tomorrow, you know, tomorrow's an interesting thing, Steve, because 2 rookie centers playing in the lineup. He's going to see what they can do. Philip Chartel keeps saying to everyone every time he talks, he really wants to make the team this year, and he's really determined. I mean, of course, saying it and playing it is two different things, but his mentality is making a team now. Elias Anderson's mentality is making a team now. So their attitudes are great, but can you put it, does that transform onto the ice? So it's good to see him playing Anderson back in that game.
Or does it transform onto the ice according to what AV and a coaching staff wants? There's getting onto the ice and then play within the system of AV.
It works both ways. You're 100% right. But the only way to evaluate it is to get them out there and get them to experience that pressure. And, you know, tomorrow it's Chartel's first game playing it, you know, underneath the big lights at MSG, like you said before. So you got to give him a little bit of a pass because it's totally different from the Czech Republic. And I also understand he has a little bit of a communication kind of deal. So they said that Pavelec is going to help translate with them. Though I saw him in an interview today and he seemed to speak pretty well. Maybe he doesn't understand it as well. And that's another thing you have to take into account. You know, if he doesn't grasp it right away, not because he can't, maybe he doesn't understand it. Practices are so much more important than games because the coaching staff can sit with them and go, you know, we work it this way, we work it that way, and give him that opportunity. So either way, this training camp is very valuable to him, whether he makes the team this year or next year. I personally don't see the Rangers bringing 2 18-year-olds in at the same time. That's hard. You know, because
that's a little tough.
If you if you're gonna take them and then not play them a lot, then it's a disadvantage to him. So I don't know. You know, you can't say who has an edge and does it. They could both get sent down. You really don't know until you see what they can do and if they're producing. But right now, you know, a game at a time, and we'll see what tomorrow holds.
You know, we mentioned that JT Miller played good. I almost forgot to mention this because I thought Cole Schneider had a lot of good shots, attempts, but that power play, he fanned on the power play from that left wing. We talked about the power play. That was one of the things I said, man, you should have cashed in on pretty much a wide open net to the goalie's right, his left. That should have been one power play goal right there as far as Cole Schneider, but I want to see a little bit more as well. So I think that's pretty much it for me, man, as far as watching preseason game number one, as far as what guys done on the ice and development, looking good. Overall, you know, you want to see more, like you said, Pavel. The defensemen were fine, especially Holden. You just got to see more games, man. It's just taking gaming at a time, man. Shift at a time. Period at a time.
Correct.
Anything else you'd like to add, sir?
The only thing I want to add is really quick, and it's not so much hockey, is big shout-out to former Ranger Brian Boyle, who was diagnosed with leukemia today. Once a Ranger, always a Ranger in my book, and he was great. Yeah, he came out late tonight. They think it's treatable, probably with just medication. It's a very treatable leukemia, but he hadn't played a lot. He hadn't been skating, so they had a press conference that came out, you know, about 5:15. So, you know, our prayers with him and the family. He was a great guy when he was with the New York Rangers, and if you look on Twitter later on, a lot of players are, you know, giving their regards and their best. So we hope he gets a speedy recovery, and I like to see him battling the Rangers, as I said, of sitting in the stands. So quick recovery from Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that, man. This is news to me. Thank you for sharing that news. I had no idea. Wow. I'll definitely get better, Brian Boyle, man. You're right, man. Once a Ranger, always a Ranger. I guess this is the conclusion of the Ring Podcast preseason, but let me tell RP everybody how you can be found on social media in your articles writing for the New York Rangers.
We're on Facebook at Ranger Proud, Twitter at Ranger Proud, Instagram is Ranger.Proud, of course. And I'm running for Elite Sports New York for the Ranger side and some other articles, so check out the website and the page. Some really good sports stories, hockey, football, all New York sports. We just care about when I'm running for the Rangers, so we'll keep it that way. And we'll take it from there. Another game tomorrow, and I look forward to speaking with you next Tuesday.
Now, what about are we going to test out live game tweets with Ranger Proud, or is that still strict policy? No tweeting, no comments in that for Ranger Proud during the Rangers game. Is policy still strict?
We could try to do some live tweeting on some games.
Okay.
I'll give you that. That'll be pretty cool, but. Not Ranger Island games, nothing in the division, because you know how I get with that.
Oh, okay, no.
No, but we can try, just not opening night, because I'll be a little not paying attention to anybody. But we can definitely live tweet, you know, through a game and see what guys want to add on. How if you want to do that, that'd be cool. We could do that.
I like that. Don't touch the division games. I like that.
Yeah, but, you know.
Or rivalry games. So we got to identify which rivalry games is it going to be. We already know who Islanders, Pittsburgh. I mean, I'll let you know. You definitely pick them. You know, whatever you want them. Again, don't touch. Don't tweet me. The don't tweet me games. We'll call it that. The don't tweet me games.
Well, you know what we could do? We could try to do it if you want, because you're a busy guy with all the other podcasts and stuff you're doing. But if you want maybe like once a week, we can pick a game. We don't have to, or once every other week. Whatever you want to do, we could tweet along and see who's tweeting along with us as we're, you know, back and forth, and we'd have some fun time with that. That'd be cool to do. That's not a problem.
Well, absolutely, man. I'm always open for that. I mean, I personally still am adjusting to tweeting as I'm watching the game. I just can't simultaneously do it all game long like a lot of people. I can't do it. I just need to really watch what I'm looking at. So let's say the Rangers are playing on a Tuesday. Normally we do the Rangers on Tuesday, and we'll have a post game on Tuesday. I can't tweet and watch the game. I'm looking down at what I'm typing. I hope I'm spell checking my thing correct and saying everything correctly. Then I missed the hit. The game of hockey is too fast for me to keep on tweeting and then look up and then I'm like, damn, what happened? Why he laid out? Who hit him? And I missed it. The game's so bang. The game is a bang bang score. You know, I just can't do it.
Absolutely.
But we could do it on Tuesday. Shoot. Tuesday when the Rangers play, or whenever. It doesn't matter. You know,
hey, yeah,
you
that's cool.
It.
Yeah, you know, we'll take a look at the schedule next week, and we'll figure something out, and then you can let everybody know, and we'll do that.
Yeah. And take it to Ranger Proud, the Facebook fan page as well. If we got to go that route, let's get the guys on board, man. I like that. The Ranger Proud, yeah, man. The Rain Podcast, man. It's great to have the hockey back. I was watching this game. We're about to get cut off, but I was watching. I don't know what happened to Ottawa, Toronto. I had to go back and watch. I saw it was 2-2 as we were airing this episode. I don't know what happened. So I have to check out, see what happened in that game. But it's good to have the NHL back. Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram. Ranger Proud, the Facebook page. We will, and also Twitter, on Twitter Tuesdays, especially the game we got a post game. That should be fun. We'll do that. No more here over here, man. Got to watch more games. We'll definitely keep tabs this week, man. I'll definitely keep an eye out, man. It's that, you know, sounds RP, good. It's that time of the year. You got baseball about to go into the playoffs. The NFL just started, and the NHL is about to get on the way, and the NBA right behind it. This is a real – it's like an ADHD time, man. You've got to really have your ducks in a row, like who's playing on a certain nights, man. Rangers, whatever teams. It could be any sport, man, because it comes at you all at once, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Sangre Azul. Be on the lookout for the episode, ladies and gentlemen, on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. But Ranger Proud and Steve Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.